Good morning. Thank you for coming. My name is Monica Mitra, and I the study we developed with my co-author, Susan Manning, who's from the CDC, and Emily Liu, who's the PRAMS coordinator for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And the topic of my presentation is physical abuse around the time of pregnancy among women with disabilities. Okay, what do I do? Okay, standard disclosure. I don't have any financial relationships relevant to this presentation, et cetera. I do want to acknowledge that partial funding for my position and for the PRAMS was provided by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and from CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare and Medicaid Services. And we also want to thank the CDC Maternal and Child Health Epidemiology Program for their scientific guidance. So the study objective is very simple. We want to document the prevalence of physical abuse among women with disabilities around the time of pregnancy, and we want to compare it to the prevalence among women without disabilities. And we also wanted to examine the association between prenatal counseling and disability status. Besides these sort of obvious objectives, we also had some kind of hidden objectives. And that's one of the reasons I'm presenting outside the, I usually present in the disability section. And I realize it's really important for me to go out there and present our findings outside the disability section to really disseminate and highlight the issues, the health issues that women with disabilities face. You know, the vulnerability towards, for example, physical abuse or intimate partner violence, and bring it out to whether it's the provider community, whether it's the domestic violence prevention community, whether it's other researchers, but really to bring this out so that other people can join in and examine this and bring out programs, et cetera. Another hidden objective is really also to highlight the importance of including disability screeners in population-based surveys. I mean, you would be surprised at how few of these large population-based surveys actually have disability screeners, and so it's a chicken and egg situation where you then don't study the population because there are no screeners there, and so it's kind of continuously underserved. Over the last decade or so, we've seen there has been emerging research on the prevalence and the consequences of violence, you know, different forms of violence against women with disabilities. And what overall, you know, all the studies suggest that women with disabilities are at increased risk of violence. And particularly what's important is to note that women with disabilities actually face unique forms of violence, both in terms of the perpetrator relationship, that it's not just intimate partners, friends, acquaintances, relatives, but there's a whole other realm, which is caregivers, both formal and informal caregivers, to whom the women might be dependent for their care, for their activities of daily living. And the second is actually also in terms of the forms of abuse. The spectrum is usually sexual, financial, emotional, physical. But women with disabilities also, some of the abuse is also in terms of deprivation in terms of assistive technology, wheelchair, medication. So the almost the framework of abuse in this community is different. Oops, wrong. The earliest studies that were done, were conducted, were really using convenient samples. And recently, in the last 5 or so years, we've seen there have been an emergence of studies where people have looked at this issue in a population-based sample. In 2009, Barrett et al. Actually found that 33% of women with disabilities experienced intimate partner violence compared to 21% of women without disabilities. And this, they used the BRFSS data. Castile et al. In 2008 found that women with severe disabilities were almost 4 times more likely to be sexually assaulted compared to women without disabilities. And in 2005, Cohen found that women with activity limitations were at a higher risk for severe physical violence compared to women without activity limitations. So given this background, we wanted to advance this work. And just by looking at by documenting the prevalence of abuse around the time of pregnancy for this vulnerable population. I'm sure most of you have heard of the PRAM survey, but so we use data from the Massachusetts Pregnancy Risk Assessment and Monitoring System, and it collects state-specific data on maternal attitudes, care experiences before, during, and shortly after pregnancy. And this is between 2 to 6 months after pregnancy. For this study, we had to use data, which we aggregated data for 2 years, 2007 and 2008, primarily because of sample size. And you'll see as I go into the study is there's still, you know, it's a small sample size, and we want to continue the study by including data from 2009 when we get it. The measures of that we used to determine physical abuse were the survey questions which asked women whether during the past 12 months, during the 12 months before their pregnancy, whether they were pushed, hit, slapped, kicked, choked, or physically hurt in any way by a current or ex-partner or husband. And this was also asked, these questions were also asked for similar types of violence during their pregnancy. And so for the study, we developed 3 categories of physical abuse. So physical abuse by an ex or current partner or husband before pregnancy, physical abuse by ex or current partner husband experienced during pregnancy, and then similar physical abuse by an ex or current partner husband experienced before or during pregnancy. And as I said that, you know, one of the major reasons that people actually even, it's hard to examine the health issues of women or, you know, men with disabilities is the lack of a disability screener. And there is, among all the PRAM surveys, I think only 2 states have a disability screener, Rhode Island and Massachusetts. So so in Massachusetts, we were fortunate enough to add this as a state-added question ever since we actually have been piloting the PRAMs, and which is, are you limited in any way, in any activities because of a physical, mental, or emotional problem? And this is a question that was developed by the CDC and has been used as one of the core questions in the BRFSS since 1996. And this definition is consistent with the Healthy People 2010 definitions. The analytical methods is, you know, we use the classic chi-square analysis to compare the distributions of selected maternal characteristics by disability status. And we also used, you know, multiple logistic regression to examine the association between disability and abuse. So first, during 2007-2008, we found that almost 5% of Massachusetts mothers reported having a disability. And women with disabilities were more likely to be unmarried. They were more likely to be unmarried. So we can see that 55% of women with disabilities were married compared to 66% of women without disabilities. We also saw that in terms of education, and this is consistent with the literature and other data out there, is women with disabilities are, women without disabilities are more likely to have a college degree. And what was surprising was there were no differences in maternal age, because usually disability is associated with higher age, and we found there were no differences. But what was consistent and very striking was that, you know, the differences in household poverty status between women without disabilities. So the first thing we looked at was just the prevalence of abuse, physical abuse by disability status. And it's really quite stark, the differences. So for women with disabilities, before pregnancy, that is during the year before their pregnancy, 13.6% reported having being physically abused, compared to 2.8% of women without disabilities. And this is, these are consistent whether we looked at it by husband or partner or ex-husband and ex-partner. Then we looked at the physical abuse during the pregnancy, and we found a similar difference in terms of 8% of women with disabilities reported physical abuse during their pregnancy, which is almost 1 in 10, and compared to 2.3% of women without disabilities. And again, the relationships were similar when we looked at it, the association was similar when you looked at it as husband, partner, and ex-husband, ex-partner. Then we looked at the physical abuse before and during, or during pregnancy, which is, you know, and found that 14% so of women with disabilities reported being abused before or during their pregnancy. and compared to 3.8%. So this is sort of before or during. But we also looked at, and I didn't report it because of course because of the sample size, is we looked at the physical abuse before and during pregnancy. So the people who were sort of continuously had been abused, and we found there were striking differences between. Between the two groups. And again, we hopefully when we include other years of data, we can get a more robust sample. When we looked at prenatal care provider, the counseling about physical abuse, we found that there were no reported differences. Women with disabilities, 54% have said that the prenatal care provider had talked to them about physical abuse, compared to about 59% of women without disabilities. And then finally, what we looked at were both crudes and adjusted odds ratio. When you looked at for the three groups, which is physical abuse before pregnancy, physical abuse during pregnancy, and physical abuse before or during pregnancy, we found that in terms of the crudes odds ratios, women with disabilities were between 4 to 5.5 times more likely to report experiencing physical abuse. When we looked at the adjusted odds ratios, and here we adjusted for maternal age, race, Hispanic ethnicity, marital status, and household poverty status. So we adjusted for these, and we found that for physical abuse before pregnancy, it was, women with disabilities were 4.3 times more likely. When we looked at it for during pregnancy, women with disabilities almost three times. And when we looked at it before and during, we found women with disabilities were 3.2 times more likely to report physical abuse before or during their pregnancy. So as I mentioned, this is a very simple study, and it's just looking and it was consistent with the findings in the literature on disability and abuse, is that the women with disabilities are at a greater risk of physical abuse, and particularly during the time of their pregnancy. And then we looked at the literature in the general population. And what we found that, women with disabilities who experience abuse around the time of their pregnancy are at risk for multiple poor maternal as well as infant health outcomes. And also studies suggested that women who experience abuse, particularly during their pregnancy, the abuse tends to be much more severe, both in terms of the length of the abuse and the type of the abuse. And then we look, if you look at this and you think about women with disabilities who are already at, sort of what's been determined as a narrow margin of health, which is they're more likely to report poor health, they're more likely to report chronic conditions and unmet healthcare needs, lower access to healthcare, and all of this. So you combine what's the literature that's out there in terms of the general population, and you look at what women with disabilities are already facing. So we really think that the impact of violence potentially has a greater impact on the health of pregnant women with disabilities and potentially their infants. When we looked at the differences in terms of prenatal counseling for abuse, there weren't any. And we don't know, again, that whether women with disabilities were more or less likely to actually disclose partner abuse to their provider. We also don't know whether appropriate referrals took place. So we don't know whether women with disabilities were actually more likely to be referred. It could quite possibly be or less likely to be referred to. But there is a general access issue, and we really think that these kinds of studies should be done, is to examine whether referrals take place. And overall our study, one of the things it highlights is what we want to do is the traditional studies are always looking at disability as an outcome of abuse, which it is, and it's very important to study that. But what we really want to do is change that equation and to look at the risks and the prevalence and the consequences of abuse for women who already have a disability, and to look at to see if we can develop effective methods to assess and to screen for partner abuse, and really to look at and exam and to do future research on this. And again, I don't know if any of you from other states which use PRAMS, but please go ahead and or any survey, whether it's a youth health survey or a YRBS, or you know, is really to go and speak to people about including disability screeners and encouraging people, whether it's violence or whether it's falls or injuries. It's really important to study this and to disseminate the findings. Quick thing on limitations, it's a small number of women who self-report disability, and we really want to continue to study this. It doesn't, the disability questions does not allow determine the type of disability, which I think is also very important to study. And also the abuse question, I mean, if you think of it, it's a very narrow definition. It's physical abuse, so there's no sexual, there's no financial or emotional abuse. So it's a very narrow form of abuse that we're looking at. So I think we also need to look at other types of abuse that might be more pertinent. And also forms of abuse that are unique to women with disabilities that most surveys actually don't even ask about. Thank you.